I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, Serie A fan. Remo Freuler sees red as 10-man Atalanta eventually succumb to Madrid. A spirited display gives Gasp hope for the second leg. Lazio get mullered by mullerless Bayern, while Napoli fail to get past Granada in Europa. We discuss all of that and revisit the Milan derby after the dust has settled, plus previews of the weekend and all your usual nonsense on this episode of Scudetto. Hello everyone and welcome to Scudetto, your weekly roundup of top flight Italian football. Tonight we're going to be previewing the game of the weekend, that's Roma versus Milan. Also going to be talking about the fortunes of the Italian teams in the European competitions, starting with Atalanta Madrid. But don't worry, we have not forgotten about the Milan derby. We'll be getting you Baez's take on that, what it means in the title race, etc. But first, let us catch up with the squad. Baez, let's start with you. How are you getting on?
I'm doing pretty well. I got a haircut this week and the guy butchered me. Unfortunately, I was given the old guy as opposed to the young hipster guy who does young people's hair. So I guess it says a lot more about me than the hairdresser.
You're looking nice and trimmed. It's just Kenny to get the haircut now. We're definitely looking a lot sleeker than we were a few weeks ago. But I guess he's got the excuse that all the barbers are still closed, probably.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what I'm hiding behind.
It's a good thing that this is not a visual format.
It's not that bad.
We'll get Kenny's update in a second. But Baz, do you want to tell us about your beer? Have you got something more distinct for us this week?
No, I've got a generic henchman copy-paste beer, some local lager. Unfortunately, my beers have not arrived yet.
The ongoing saga of the missing beers.
It's getting ridiculous.
Okay. Kenny, how about you? How are things in Scotland?
Yeah, I've had your stereotypical middle-aged man week this week, really. Just doing lots of DIY, nothing particularly exciting. But then I guess if ever there was a time to have that excuse, lockdown would be it, really. But yeah, all good other than that. It's not that cold anymore and it's a bit sunny, so quite happy with that.
Yeah, interesting you say that. I've had a similar week. Went for our IKEA trip on Monday. And been building some flat pack furniture, which is always a fun challenge. But I did get some meatballs out of it.
Always.
Yeah, you always have to go for the IKEA meatballs. I think I had 14, maybe even 16 of them. Lovely stuff.
Healthy diet, of course.
And what about your beer, Kenny?
I've been a bit lazy this week. I've got Brewdog Dead Pony Club. I like them. So, yeah, just gone for one of them.
It's a solid choice. Well, it's okay. You guys have gone for kind of reliable favourites because I've got one that's a bit outside the box. It's from a brewery called Amorphis, I think, and it's called Legacy of the 1,000 Lakes, which, as our listeners may know, Finland is known as the land of 1,000 lakes, at least by Swedes and probably by other people as well. And there are a lot of lakes here, so it's an apt description.
Someday we'll be able to visit.
Yeah, we can have a Scudetto reunion and you can dodge it. Let's move on to the football. And starting with Atalanta, who obviously in action last night against Real Madrid, ended up losing 1-0 and in controversial fashion, I think it's fair to say, which we will get into. But Kenny, let's start with their previous game on Sunday evening, because after that, it was a sort of six-goal thriller against Napoli. They came out on top, and I thought they were shaping up to be a strong candidate for our Good Week award. So shall we start there? How good were they in that game?
They were very good. I mean, it was 0-0 at halftime the game, but Atalanta really did have Atalanta had all of the possession, all the chances really in that first half. I think basically we said it last week. Napoli were going into this game, a depleted team, tired. And Atalanta had the full week to prepare. And I think it absolutely showed. They were much fresher than Napoli. They were much more energetic. And they also, to add to that, had Luis Muriel, who is absolutely on fire, who ultimately in the second half made the difference. But they were really, really good in the second half. It did look a couple of times like they were going to do that Atalanta thing of letting commanding position slip. But they just kept doing what they do best, kept creating chances and scoring, and six goals in the second half to make up for the none in the first. 4-2, they would be absolutely delighted with that. I think it was really, really possibly more important for them than the Napoli to stay in the Champions League race, because you do think that when Napoli's players start coming back, they'll potentially... that will freshen up the squad a little bit. Atalanta, obviously, these players are going to have been playing week in, week out. Already they have been, and with hopefully with continuing Champions League commitments, that will be the case for a good long time to come.
Yeah, and before we do move on to that Champions League discussion, we should send our best wishes to Victor Osimhen, who was stretchered off unconscious. Looked like he'd received a blow to the head, although I think he's back in limited training. So hopefully he'll be back on the pitch fairly soon.
He's not having a good time of it.
No, exactly. And Napoli's been missing him, I think it's fair to say. So yeah, all the best to him. Speaking of people going off though, Kenny, before we move on, did we want to quickly mention Gasperini?
Yeah, I mean, you've said that we're going to get to the Champions League game next, but I kind of feel like he should have saved the red card for the Real Madrid game. but yeah, he got very, very angry at a penalty that was, I believe it was a Piscina, if memory serves me correctly, which turned out, actually, I thought it was a penalty watching it live, but the replays clearly showed that the defender got some of the ball and the referee made the right decision. But he kept protesting to the fourth official and got sent off, after which he completely lost it and turned around and started hurling generic abuse in the direction of the match officials. And then a cameraman got in his way as well, and he got in the end of a volley of verbal abuse as well. So yeah, quite spectacular. Another sending off for Gasperini.
Yeah, so he was obviously hoping to avoid the wrath of UEFA by getting his red card out of the way at the weekend. Obviously, we watched the Atalanta game at the weekend, and I heard from our Madrid correspondent Hector, who watched Madrid struggle to win 1-0 without any recognised strikers on the pitch. We thought it looked very promising from Atalanta, and it probably could have been, really, couldn't it? If not for an early sending off that sort of changed the game.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've been... I used to get angry about football a lot when I was younger. It's been a long time since I've been this angry during or after a football match. So basically, yeah, Freuler got sent off in the 17th minute for what the referee had judged to have been a last man foul. And it was, I think it was Vinicius who was kind of took a touch. For me, the touch was, he was already, you know, slightly wide of the goal. His touch didn't take it towards goal. It was a textbook yellow card. It was a textbook yellow card, and I think everyone watching at home was very, very surprised to see the referee racing over as quickly as he could and brandishing the red card. And I think we would have had a great game. I think everyone was looking forward to it. Gasperini and Zidane spoke beforehand about how much they were looking forward to a reunion after their time at Juve, where Gasperini was a Primavera coach, while Zidane was lighting up Serie A. We should have had a great game of football, but the referee ultimately robbed everyone in Europe of what would potentially have been one of the ties of the rounds. So yeah, Atalanta after that just had to sit back and defend doggedly, and they did very, very well actually to do so, succumbing eventually to a what has to be said was a wonder strike by Mendy at the end. But yeah, a disappointing result. But I would say that I think Gasperini said in his press conference afterwards that if they're, you know, an 11-man Atalanta going to Madrid, having seen what Real Madrid did, which was not really hurt Atalanta at all when Atalanta were down to 10 men. There's absolutely every chance that they can go there and get a result.
Yeah. And on the refereeing sort of more in general, obviously no one likes to see an early red card, sort of ruins the spectacle. But if you are going to take an extremely harsh line on those kind of offences, you expect to see that consistently applied. And I think Atalanta fans will feel aggrieved that Casemiro was not sent off for his dive in the second half.
Yeah, absolutely. So it does also have to be said that there are quite a few Real players who put in challenges that on most days would have been worthy of yellow cards, but got away with it. Casemiro was actually one who didn't. He had actually already been booked. He actually got a little bit of a nudge in the back, but kept running and then decided he wasn't getting to the ball and threw himself down. The referee did that thing where he kind of stopped play, dashed over to the player to give him a yellow card. It would appear to people viewing, realized that it was someone who had already been booked and decided to give him a stern telling off instead. So basically acknowledging, look, I should be giving you a second yellow card here, but I'm not going to. Quite astonishing when you consider how hard line the decision on Freuler was to then just let something like that slip. I think Gasperini and all the Italian media as well, when you see Capello's comments after the game, when you look at the front page of the Gazzetta dello Sport today, it seems like all of Italy is enraged, let's say, about this decision. And I think quite justifiably, I feel like Real Madrid have massively been let off the hook. And Atalanta harshly punished.
And perhaps the most encompassing comment about the game was the guy who was doing the commentary on the match in Italy said at halftime, when the halftime whistle went, he said that's about the only whistle he got right in this whole half.
And we were laughing about Gasperini's comments, weren't we, Baz, where he kind of said, I won't say anything because otherwise UEFA will give me a ban, and then went on to complain about
it. Yeah, he seemed to kind of wind himself up. Initially, he said he was going to keep it quiet, and then gradually he was like, that was outrageous. What's going on with these refs? What's the point of having VAR? These people have never played football in their lives. Why would they know how to ref? Harsh.
Yeah, he said if they can't tell the difference between a foul and or a intentional foul and a challenge, then they should go and do a different job.
Yeah, well, at least, like you say, it's a game on for the second leg, which is probably more than we can say for the Lazio-Bayern game. Ended up 4-1 to Bayern, giving Lazio a mountain to climb in the second leg. Before we discuss that, we should give a shout out, I think, to Luis Alberto, his performance in their 1-0 win against Sampdoria at the weekend.
Yeah, he scored a worldie.
Scored a worldie and also had an absolutely glorious through ball, which I think it was Immobile missed. But that sort of pass is the epitome of the number 10 for me. And I'm actually struggling to think of a player at the moment in Europe who epitomizes what, you know, we grew up watching the number 10 as Luis Alberto. He's such a glorious footballer to watch.
We've said it before on the pod, but we should mention that it's a travesty that Spain haven't looked at him in recent matches.
Yeah, which makes it all the more disappointing, really. I suppose we sort of expected Bayern to blow them away, and they did. But on the evidence of the actual performance, do you think Lazio could feel a bit hard done by, Kenny?
Hard done by? No, I mean, they were absolutely destroyed by Bayern. I feel like they also had an absolute stonewall penalty, Boateng, on Milinkovic-Savic when the score was 1-0 and Lazio were actually going through a decent spell, probably the only decent spell they had in the first half, which lasted all of about 10-15 minutes until Bayern got the second. Bayern were just better in every department. They looked hungrier. They were much more clinical. It could arguably have been worse. Lazio did improve a little bit in the second half, but I mean, the damage had been done by then. In particular, one thing that I think is probably, you wouldn't think by looking at the score, but had it not been for three individual errors from Lazio, from each of their three centre-backs, the score might have actually been much better. I mean, it was a hat trick first, Musacchio with a suicidal back pass. Then there was Patrick, who somehow managed to run into Lucas Leiva. And then there was obviously that comical on goal from Acerbi as well, who decided to watch the man and try a no-look clearance.
Yeah, obviously a few mistakes there. I mean, we're obviously not a Bundesliga podcast, but I think our sister podcast, what would it be called? Salatschüssel or something like that, would be predicting Bayern as strong favourites for the competition. So maybe
Bayern look like the team to beat again this year. And in a way, Lazio were unfortunate to draw them. In Lazio's defense, they haven't played in Europe in 7 years. So it's all a learning curve. And as Kenny said, obviously Bayern are the better team and deserve to win. But if the episodes went slightly differently, it's possible that we'd be talking about a completely different game. As things stand, this tie is all but done.
Yeah, interesting. I think Simone Inzaghi was quite disappointed. He said that they were up for the game beforehand, and instead when it started, they froze, and it seemed like he had all but thrown in the towel, really. I don't think Simone Inzaghi believes that they can go through, and probably epitomized by two substitutions that he made towards the end when he took Luis Alberto Milinkovic-Savic off with 10 minutes to play, and you think, well, If Lazio could somehow sneak another goal, the tie is very, very difficult, but it's not over. But no, he seemed to have thrown in the towel. Leiva was much more brutal afterwards. He basically just said, yeah, didn't show up. When that's the worst game that we've played all season. When you do that against the world champions, that's what happens. So yeah, very, very disappointing night for Lazio.
Lazio are essentially a Ferrari, a Fiat car with a Ferrari motor. The front line in the midfield is world class, one of the best in Italy for sure. But then you look at that back line and it's very average at best, and they paid for it this time.
Yeah, not giving them much chance of a comeback there. Just before we move on from Lazio, we should just make a brief point on the COVID test controversy, which I think we discussed on this podcast in the past. Letito is going to be heard by the National Federal Tribunal on March 16th. Anything else to add on that, Buzz?
It'd just be interesting to hear how he defends himself.
Indeed. So more on that as we have it. Okay, Buzz, we've avoided talking about it for almost 20 minutes. I think it's time to visit the Milan Derby.
What's that?
Yeah, there was a game on Sunday.
The Italian Cup one, yeah, a while back. Lukaku, Ibrahimovic fight. Yeah, we went over it, didn't we?
No more fireworks off the pitch, but some on it, for sure.
Exactly. Let's get serious for a second. The team with the highest paid manager and the highest paid squad beat the team with one of the youngest squads in Europe. Ultimately, Inter deserved to win and probably deserved to take the title, as we've been saying from the very start of the season. In fact, it's kind of surprising that it's taken them this long to be on top. Conte got his tactics just right. He left the initiative to Milan. Milan actually had 61% of possession, which is very high, but didn't really do much with that possession beyond a spell at the end of the first half and a short spell at the beginning of the second half. Kudos goes to Conte's midfield. Perisic, Barella, and our boy Eriksen all had 90% pass completion rates. I guess that was best shown in the second goal, which saw Inter pass it out from the back through the defense over to Hakimi, who then got the ball into the middle. And there's a gorgeous Eriksen pass for Perisic. He kind of holds the ball for an extra half second or something, which kind of throws the whole Milan defense into disarray. Other than that, a big talking point is probably Lukaku coming up on top of Ibrahimovic again. His performance was phenomenal. He set up Lautaro's first goal and he scored what was a phenomenal solo goal. Having said that, I personally felt that the whole Milan team and especially the defense just didn't show up on the day. A cutting stat I was telling you guys before we started recording was that the first foul on Lukaku was in the 70th minute and it was kind of out of frustration. Up until then, he'd never been fouled. And I'm not saying go out and break this guy's leg, but if a player goes by you, you pull his shirt, you foul him, you do something to stop him. it just looked like Milan's side was very timid, and it looked like some key performers like Kessi, Kalinoglu, and even Chiar are starting to run on empty this season. Let's not forget Milan played an extra 6 games in the Europa League at the beginning of the season, and I guess the extra games, this kind of super tight season is catching up with them. As I said, Milan really lacked bite.
Yeah, interesting to hear you analyze it like that, Baz, because we were obviously all watching it together. I thought Milan were a bit unlucky not to score, at least. Maybe Inter probably, it was fair that they won, but I thought the real difference was Lukaku. I don't know, what did you make of it, Kenny?
I did think Lukaku was the difference, and I think without him, Inter are not favourites for the title. With him, they look unstoppable, especially now that Conte finally seems to have found his preferred starting 11. Boaz said that Conte got the tactics just right. He also got the starting 11 just right. That is Inter's strongest starting 11. The other thing that I just wanted to mention was how well Handanovic played. That game would have been 1-1 had it not been for two wonderful saves against Zlatan efforts in the space of about a minute. He's come through a very rough patch. He seems to have these periods where he's irresistible and these periods where he makes a lot of mistakes. He had been going through one of the latter. That game could have, you know, cliche goes, goals change games. That game could have gone very, very differently had it not been for those two stops on Zlatan.
Absolutely. Obviously, with Inter taking the points here, how big do we think this is in the context of the title race? Obviously, they go 4 points clear. It kind of makes the Roma game on Sunday a must-win for Milan if they want to stay in contention, doesn't it?
Definitely. It's 4 points on the table, but it's technically 5 points because Inter have a better goal difference in the head-to-head clashes. Something that needs to be said is that, for me, Milan didn't lose the top of the table in this game because, as we said, they won the first leg of the derby. They lost the top of the table by drawing home games with the likes of Parma, Genoa. Like, points were dropped against smaller opposition, which is kind of a staple of Milan in the recent years. But if you had told any Milan fan at the beginning of the season that the club would have led the table for so long, they'd probably be surprised. And the target remains top 4. And that in itself is quite a big ask if you consider Atalanta are just a few points behind. Roma, who, as you just said, there's Milan are traveling to the Olimpico this week. So a very tasty season. And Milan now need to get their heads up and concentrate on back to basics because there's still a lot of games to go. And it would be a shame to throw away an amazing year, not to see an amazing season, an amazing year with a couple of months of poor performances. And the final point is that in the whole of 2020, Milan lost 3 games, I believe. And in 2021, thus far, they've lost 5 games.
Yeah, I would also say that it's a very brave person who makes a prediction we've been saying all along how much of a roller coaster it is. And having just said how important Lukaku is to them, Inter are 1 COVID test or 1 injury away from going through a difficult patch themselves, you know. So there's a lot of football still to be played. We've still got 15 games or so left. So yes, Inter are definitely they've been favourites all along, really. But they're now looking like stronger favourites. But let's not count Juve out either, because there have been periods where we've said Juve finally look like they've got it together, and all it takes is Inter to go through and not even that big a bad patch, just like a few games of a blip, and Juve could be breathing right down their necks, not to mention Milan if Milan can find their form again.
In Milan's favour, the calendar gets a little bit easier after the Roma game, and there'll be matches against Udinese and a few of the lower team tables. So as I said, now is the time to get the shit back on the road.
Yeah, so that game is on Sunday evening, another big Sunday in Serie A. And actually, both teams are in action at the moment, or they're both just finished, both qualified eventually for the next round of the Europa League. Milan making slightly difficult work of it, drawing 1-1 with 10-man Red Star at home.
From what I saw, it wasn't pretty.
Yeah. Whereas Roma 3-1 winners against Braga 5-1 on aggregate. Napoli unfortunately did not qualify for the next round of the Europa League. 2-1 winners tonight at home against Granada, but that's a 2-3 loss on aggregate.
And to follow on the theme of controversial refereeing performances, we didn't watch the game, but Gattuso had some words about Granada's time-wasting, and he said that if an Italian club had done it, they'd be crucified. But because it was Granada, they were getting away with 3 to 5 minutes per foul.
Before we move on, also, maybe we should just mention on Inter that their owners, Suning, at trading of the stocks has been suspended on the Shenzhen Stock Exchange as there continue to be talks about a change of ownership. And I think it recently came out in a report that they'd described Inter as business as irrelevant, didn't it, Buzz?
Yeah, there was a big outrage in Italy about this quote that described Inter as irrelevant. The actual quote was a little bit less direct. They said that they were going to disinvest from anything that was irrelevant to their retail business. But still, that doesn't bode well for Inter, who are a club with a huge salary bill and kind of dependent on Suning and their cash.
And in other news, Di Francesco, despite being given a contract extension, won't be eating. What's the summer equivalent of panettone? It's like a tiramisu?
Yeah, panna cotta, something summery. He's not going to have his panna cotta.
You must be happy about that.
I've been, even when we were doing our pilot episodes in the summer that no one heard, I was banging on about how I didn't understand how Di Francesco keeps falling upwards. Apparently, he's a really nice guy and a lot of people really respect him, but the results at Sampdoria and now at Cagliari have been abysmal, and it's a surprise that it's taken this long to get rid of him, in my mind.
Yeah, and that's another big game this weekend for Cagliari, away to Crotone in the relegation fight. So we'll see how they get on. Torino, of course, who are 5 points ahead of them in 17th, have Sassuolo at home. And finally, in this section, we should mention that Fiorentina won a game. Castrovilla came on, scored and assisted. He was good, wasn't he, Kenny?
Yeah, I mean, he turned this game on its head. Fiorentina were, you don't need to take my word for it, just look at any of the sort of main Fiorentina fan accounts on Twitter, people saying this is the worst that I've seen Fiorentina play in a long time, and that's saying something. Very, very lucky to go in at the break with scores level. Castrovilli came on just at the end of the second half. And yeah, worked his magic, got an assist for Vlahovic, also got on the score sheet himself. And mentioning Vlahovic, I was at pains to point out numerous times throughout the season that they were making all of these signings, but they still hadn't signed a forward. Well, it appears that Vlahovic is actually coming good. I think he scored 5 goals and got an assist since the turn of the year. So he seems to be growing in confidence, and maybe he's the striker that they've been crying out for.
Good news. And Fiorentina certainly look like they're going to be safe this season. Just before we move on to good week, bad week, we should mention that Italy women have qualified for the Euros by beating Israel 12-0. Buzz, you're across this one, were you?
On paper, at least, these are two teams I should know a lot about, but I wasn't aware this game was happening, unfortunately. But Italy needed a 2-0 win to qualify for the Euros in England. What they did get was a 12-0 win, so a pretty convincing victory. And we'll see them next year at the Euro in Group B.
Looking forward to that. Okay, let's take a poll on good week, bad week. We've got some nominations for good week. Inter is down here. What do we think? Any other nominations that we could consider alongside Inter? I know it pains us to give it to Conte.
What have Inter done this week?
I think we've got to give it to Inter. I think I was the main instigator behind this getting on the spreadsheet. They could have had it a couple of times in the last few weeks, really. But to win the derby 3-0, to go 4 points clear at the top, yeah. For everything that we've said about them becoming strong favourites, I think it has to be Inter a good week this week.
And their recent record is immense. I think they've got 15 games, one draw, one loss, and the rest are all victories.
Yeah, and they've also got the advantage that they don't have to play midweek, so no chance to slip up in Europe and lose the title. probably, okay, we'll give good week to Inter. Bad week's maybe a little bit more controversial. There are a few teams that have lost two games. I think probably Napoli a front runner, given that they've just failed to qualify for the next stage of the Europa League.
For me, it was between Milan and Napoli, but since we gave it to Milan a couple of weeks ago, we should spread the love. And Napoli are the only Italian team out of Europe for now. Hopefully, Juventus, Atalanta, and Lazio can surprise us.
Yep, so bad week, Napoli. Any objections?
No objections here. I was just just kind of having a refresher, looking through the results. A lot of draws, so not like that many options. Potentially Cagliari, who we've just spoken about, dropping 5 points adrift at the bottom. But yeah, I think it has to be Napoli.
We'll keep an eye on Cagliari, because with that squad, they really shouldn't be anywhere near the bottom.
Fair enough. Well, with that, I suppose we will move on to the honourable and dishonourable mentions. Baz, you want to kick us off with some birthday wishes?
The birthday wishes always seem to fall on me, but today, as we record, is Gigi Donnarumma's 22nd birthday. And I was actually going to give him an honourable mention before I knew it was going to be his birthday, because he is the fastest player to reach 200 Serie A appearances at the tender age of 21 in a few hundred days. He didn't have a particularly good performance in the derby, although you'll struggle to blame him for any of the goals. As I said, he's really, we've mentioned it time and time again, he's the Azzurri keeper for years to come. There's this contract dispute with him, and if I were him, I'd go to a PSG or a Man City or one of these mega clubs. But obviously, I'd love it if he stays in Milan for his whole career. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, and Kenny, I'm just looking at this next one. We've already spoken about Luis Alberto's lofted through ball. Just for the record, keeper Boaz, this goes down as an honourable mention.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Boaz, you want to give a dishonourable to fans?
Yeah, this all started in the build-up to the derby. There was a few thousand people outside of San Siro from both teams. And at the time, we commented that, especially given the current situation in the world, it's really inappropriate, but also it's very disrespectful to people who are working in hospitals, people in healthcare, who honestly, they're the ones who will end up suffering from this. But following that kind of disgraceful behavior, we've had Atalanta fans seeing off their team in masses. We've had Lazio seeing off the team in masses. This is a worrying trend, and these people should fix their heads.
Yeah. Not much more to add there. I think we're all in agreement on that one. On a much happier note, I wanted to just give an honourable to Davide Nicola. You can dig out the clip of him hugging his goalkeeper, Sirigu, after their victory over Cagliari. Absolutely lovely stuff. Just gives him a massive bear hug.
Yeah, I think it shows how much that result meant as well.
He's done wonders for the club.
Yeah, he's another... another candidate for the Italian Big Sam title, isn't he? Anyway, Kenny, you wanted to give an honourable to Cristiano Biraghi.
Yeah, Biraghi, who reached 100 matches for Fiorentina, and he did so in the same game that Prandelli reached 100 wins as Fiorentina manager. So some nice symmetry there, but I'm going to give the honourable to Biraghi instead of Prandelli.
Fair enough. And speaking of centuries, Baz, you've got another honourable for us.
Despite the disappointing results in Europe in the midweek, Simone Inzaghi got a win on the weekend, and it was his 100th win as a manager, which makes him the fourth quickest to reach that goal. He made it in 183 games. Ahead of him are Sarri and Conte, so obviously not bad company.
And just finishing off the other Inzaghi brother, who's a manager in Serie A, Kenny, you wanted to give a dishonourable to Pippa.
Yeah, dishonourable for Super Pippo Inzaghi. I mean, this is very, very funny, because he got sent off for Benevento against Roma for leaving his technical area. It was actually a second yellow card, so he was already on a warning from the referee, but there's leaving your technical area and then there's leaving it in style in the way that Pippo Inzaghi did. It has to be said, he didn't leave his technical area to celebrate or in a rage at a decision or anything. he was actually just standing down by the corner flag coaching his players as they were trying to dig out a late victory against Roma. And fair enough, really, the ref. We've given the refs a lot of criticism today, but he was about 30 yards out of his technical area. So I think very justified.
Knowing Inzaghi, he was trying to beat the offside trap.
I guess you have to be even more strict with these kind of rules when there's no crowds in, because you could just station people all the way around the pitch to give advice, couldn't you? They'd be able to hear it. Anyway, that is all we've got time for this week. Please do subscribe to our podcast if you don't already on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your audio. We'll be back next week. Until then, enjoy the football. La Roma è campione d'Italia per la stagione 2000-2001. Il titolo del 2008, l'Inter è campione d'Italia, 16° scudetto per la squadra. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.